It's dark, it's crowded, it's late, and the crowd is excited. That shouldn't be a recipe for a disaster, but in Chicago early Monday morning, it was. 21 people were crushed to death in the E2 nightclub after a small fight and some pepper spray sent everyone pushing towards the lone exit. Joining us now to talk about crowd control is Jake Pauls, an independent consultant on building use and safety. He's with us on the phone from Silver Spring, Maryland, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Neil.
And of course, we want to invite you listeners to call in as well. Do you worry when you go to a concert or a nightclub? Do you look for the exits? Are you a business owner who struggles to keep up to code? Give us a call at 800-989-8255 or send us email at totn@npr.org. And Jake Pauls, this has been described by a lot of people as a stampede, but it seemed like more of a crush. Can you describe crowd crush for us?
Crowd crush is when the space available for people is inadequate. That's generally around 1.5 square feet per person or less, and you start getting intense pressures and mounting to hundreds of pounds of force from bodies around you, and you essentially then experience what's called compressive asphyxia. Hmm. You stop breathing, you can't even talk or yell.
Now, you've read some first-hand accounts of crowd crushes, I understand, from people who survived. How do they describe it?
It's a life-changing event, even in a near-miss situation. In other words, if you survive just an experience that's psychologically very disturbing, the sense of helplessness comes through in these accounts. People around you can't even help you either, and you can't communicate with them. So these are among the most evocative accounts that I've read in my work on building safety. Mm-hmm. They're very memorable events.
Well, there have been altogether too many incidents that involved fires, from the Coconut Grove, the famous case, for example, or the Happy Land Social Club in the Bronx a few years ago. But are there non-fire hazards that play a role?
Yes, many. In fact, in larger buildings for public assembly, like theaters, arenas, and stadia and so forth, nightclubs, the chance of losing your life just from a crowd incident, a crowd crush, is about the same, all very similar to what it is from fire. And we have cases of large, major crowd incidents, for example, people entering an air raid shelter in 1943 in London, 173 dead there. Sporting event egress when there's no fire, we had 66 die in 1971 in Scotland. We had people entering a sporting event, there was 96 people died in 1989, and so on. There's just case after case, sudden changes of weather, religious exuberance, food distribution, funeral processions. There's many, many cases where the crowd crush situations can occur.
I remember a New Year's Eve celebration in Trafalgar Square, what, about 15 years ago? But there are also some factors that also contribute, at least in nightclub situations, like we saw in E2, and you know, the litigation obviously has got a long way to go, but doors locked, no crowd control, limited numbers of exits?
Yes, and you use the word crowd control. There's a term that's actually more appropriate here. It's called crowd management. That's what facility managers have to do. Crowd control is a term that in the field is generally used for police actions, although the use of pepper spray is a kind of a crowd control misuse here, which actually caused a problem. Also, the word panic is often used. I'd rather use the word flight response here. That's a more neutral term, because when you look at these cases and when you talk to people who've been in them, you find out there's amazing levels of cooperation and assistance among individuals in the group rather than just destructive behavior.
Hmm. We're talking with Jake Pauls, who's a consultant on building use and safety, about incidents like the one that happened in Chicago early Monday morning. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, the incident that I guess inspired a lot of fire codes in the United States was the famous Coconut Grove situation many years ago. What changed after that?
Well, actually, that was a late one. That was 1942. An even more dramatic one was in 1903, the Iroquois Theater fire. 602 people died there. Very similar circumstances to the Coconut Grove fire in 1942. Essentially, limited exit width. Stairs were a problem, and certainly Iroquois Theater, because many crowd crushes on stairs. Doors that swing the wrong way, that kind of thing. And that was certainly true in the Coconut Grove fire. So we have learned our lessons the expensive way.
Well, what lessons do you think we're going to learn from this most recent one in Chicago?
We'll learn some old ones. I hope we'll learn some. I think what's really needed here is a national level public inquiry, because these things are best done at a national level. And the English have done a very good job of this, by the way. After the incident in 1989, where 96 died, there was a very good report done by the Right Honorable Lord Justice Taylor. We need something of the same scale here to find out what really happened, because it appears there were many failures in terms of the facility itself, the way it was operated, and the way it was, that operation was overseen by the city authorities. My feeling is, based on very preliminary evidence, that there's a lot of blame to go around here.
Mm-hmm. There are also, in addition to the, sort of established nightclubs like this one, there are an awful lot of activities these days in impromptu occasions, so-called raves that are held in a warehouse somewhere. Are those accidents waiting to happen? I mean, a lot of people who go to these things, you know, consider the fire department and its codes, you know, just a spoil sport.
Well, yes, they are, but I would not forget the more or less public events such as in large stadia, particularly in the current state of world affairs. I am more troubled by the kinds of sports events and other cultural events that occur in large buildings. And it may be that a very innocuous event or event that was innocuous in the past may now create a very, very serious problem in these large buildings, which generally have very inadequate exits.
Let's go to Steve, who joins us on the line from Jackson, Tennessee.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I'm a former police officer, and I've had experience in smaller nightclubs, and most of those have not been up to code as far as the safety of the exits. You usually find those blocked with trash cans, stacks of liquor, and the problem that I always ran into, especially in breaking up a fight in a situation like that, where you're moving through a crowded building, you're actually elbowing people out of the way, you're over capacity, the crowd dynamics change because a small event can escalate very quickly into a big event. As a law enforcement officer, I had to be very careful how I handle any potential situation because the potential for escalation increased enormously.
Jake Pauls, is that your experience?
Yes, and I think you made a very good point there. The one thing we've learned from these crowd incidents is that you have to work with prevention. Mitigation doesn't work. In other words, once a crowd incident happens, it's very, very hard to stop it, almost impossible. So prevention measures, in other words, keeping your eyes open, being aware of what can happen, as we've just heard, that is very, very important.
Steve, we just have a couple of seconds left, but when these incidents happen, how did you try to keep these places up to code and keep the crowds down?
Unfortunately, the agency that I worked for was not responsible for enforcing the code. That was the fire marshal's responsibility, and we just really didn't see a whole lot of enforcement as far as fines that we were made aware of. We've had them shut down for incidents of violence, but I don't think we've ever had any shut down for non-compliance of safety codes.
Well, Jake Pauls, thanks very much, Steve, by the way. Jake Pauls, as you suggest, maybe there's a lot of blame to go around in a lot of different places, but thanks very much for being with us.
You're most welcome.
Jake Pauls, an independent consultant on building use and safety. He was with us by phone from Silver Spring in Maryland. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.